Now, in the second part of our consideration, we're going to talk about how Jesus put the disciples in the boat and let them go. They ran into a storm, and he came to them. And then, when everybody found out he was back on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, how they all ran to be healed. So we're going to look at Mark, starting with verse, we've done that part, from starting with verse 45 and going down to the end of the chapter 56. And straightway, he loves that word, eftis. He made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side toward Bethsaida, while he sent the crowd away. And taking leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. Our Lord did not want that crowd to gather. This must be the Messiah. This is one going to drive the Romans out, you know, and so forth. So he dispelled it. And as evening came, the boat was already in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, and now it's dark. It's dark, and it's dangerous. And Jesus isn't there. There's a lesson there for all of us. And seeing them hard put to it, even though they were far out in the sea and it was getting dark, for the wind was against them, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And he intended to go by them, or seemed to be intending to do that. He's walking on the water. Now, what's the purpose of that? Well, to join his disciples whom he loves, but also to demonstrate once again his authority over the material universe. So that when he begins to talk about how this multiplication of the loaves is going to be taken up to a whole other level, where until he comes back again, people are going to live on his body and blood. He wants to show them he has authority over all this material universe. Not only healing, but walking on water. But they, seeing him walking on the sea, thought, it is a ghost. And they all cried out. They were frightened. For all saw him, and they were terrified. But he straightway spoke with them and said to them, courage. It is I. Now that phrase, it is I, is egoimi. Egoimi, what is your name? Back in Exodus, you know, ani, asher, atri, and so forth. Translated egoimi. So while it does mean it is I, it can mean much more than that. It's a divine self-description, you see? It is I. Do not be afraid. Egoimi, you see? And then, and he got up with them in the boat, and the wind died down. And they were absolutely amazed in themselves, for they did not understand about the loaves. Rather, their heart was hardened. Now, after you hear this, read this text and see what's the connection. Why does Mark say they were amazed? And the reason they were amazed because they didn't understand about the loaves. What does that mean? Does it mean they didn't understand what power he has over the material universe? Is there more to it than that? Is he, you know, did he prophesy how he's always going to be with his people, even in times of storm? They got none of it. They just said, wow, he walked on the water and he got in the boat. And then they were okay. But they did not understand about the loaves. All that gesture meant they didn't get. Well, we don't get it 3,000 years later, 2,000 years later. You have to pray to have the Lord instruct you. What does this mean, Lord? You see? Their heart was hardened, like ours. Hardened just doesn't mean, you know, I hate everybody. It means I'm so caught up in doing my own thing and providing for my own comfort and watching the news till I'm polarized. And my heart's hard. I don't get what's really going on. That's why if we continue to read the Word of God, our heart will soften and we'll catch on. So they came to this other side of Gennesaret, and they anchored. And as they got out of the boat, straightaway, as I say, he loves that word, recognizing him, They ran around the whole district and began to carry the ill on their mats, where they would hear that he was. And wherever he would enter, in town or city or country place, they would put the sick in the marketplace, and they would call him over, so that they might even touch the fringe of his robe, and as many as touched him were healed. Now, would you like to do that? There's a beautiful statement in there of St. Bernard. He's talking about the woman in Capernaum when he was going out to heal the... We've touched on it here, it's already in the gospel that we've read so far. He's going over to heal the daughter of Jairus. And this woman says, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. And Bernard, St. Bernard has a great literary Latin style, says, talem talis taliterque tange, touch such in such a way and be healed. Because it's faith that touches Christ, not physical contact. It's faith. So we can touch Jesus now if we really believe. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you're right here with me. I believe you love me. I believe you're calling me to eternal life, and I love you. And you touch him. See? As many as touched him were healed. You see? And that's as far as this text goes, you see? So what do we get if we reflect on this text? You see, these are these gestures of Jesus, assuredly. But there's more than that, huh? There's all this power of Jesus. But the gestures of Jesus are prophecies. They're opening up dimensions of divine reality and the plan of God. It's near Passover, and Jesus multiplies his bread and feeds them all. It's manna, and he's giving it. Now, that'll all be developed in the Gospel of John. If you've heard the talks on John, I've finished the Gospel of John. It's on there somewhere. What Jesus is doing is saying, I can care for you. I can care for you. You see? And that's what he's telling them. Then, this all happens because he was moved with compassion. Smelagnizome is the verb. I think I told you this. He's deeply moved in his heart. Pope John Paul II made a very fine distinction. He said, pity looks at the need. Mercy looks at the person. So this is mercy. I'm looking at these people. They're hungry. They're hungry for the truth. They're hungry to really know the Father, and they're hungry in their bodies. And I want to satisfy them on both levels. That's how much I love you. That's why every meal we say, bless us, O Lord, and these your gifts, which we are about to receive through your bounty, Father, through Christ our Lord. And so, that's what he's saying here. So then, he's teaching them, and the disciples say, Jesus, look, you know, this is really good that you're teaching these people, but they've got to eat. And, you know, if they're on the other side of the lake, where there's very little going on, they have to get back across the lake to get something to eat. And Jesus says, feed them yourselves. He's saying, you're my disciples, you're my apostles. You have what it takes to feed them. And they don't know that. So the first lesson that they get is here. John Chrysostom, commenting on this, says, they felt the power of Christ even as they broke the bread. And that's how they began to learn who he was and who they were. And so then the text goes on, you see, to talk about, they got into the boat. Boat, very often in the Gospels, means the church, Peter's boat. And they went ahead to the other side. And he went up to the mountain to pray. However, he was on the mountain, it was dark, and they were at least in the middle of the sea, and seeing them, hard put to the rowing, for the wind was against them, about the fourth hour of the night, he came to them, and he was tending to go by them. But them seeing him, you see, walking on the sea, they thought, that's a ghost. It looks like Jesus, but it's a ghost. And they were frightened. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, you know. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind died down. And they were so absolutely amazed in themselves, and Mark says, because they didn't understand about the loaves. But what about you? Do you understand about the loaves? Do you understand the connection? Well, why he let them go and then walked on the water to them and calmed the sea? Do you understand why he did that? These loaves, my friends, are not just loaves. They're a prophecy about the way that Jesus is going to feed his people until he comes back at the end of the world. And we wouldn't understand that, you see. And so we don't understand his walking on the water. We don't understand who he is. Risen from the dead, the master of the universe, ascended to heaven, which means that now he has authority over all the material universe. We don't get it. And that's what Mark is telling us, huh? So he gets over there, and the people know, they don't know how he does it, but they know that he heals people. And so they carry the ill about them on their mats, wherever they would hear that he was. And wherever he would enter in town or city or country place, they would put the sick in the marketplace. And they would call him over so that they might even touch the fringe of his robe, and his money has touched him were healed. Now, what's that got to say about us, son? How do we touch Christ? By faith. We can reach out and have contact with him by faith. That means we're living a life of prayer, and we're talking with him, we're reading this gospel, we're searching to have deeper contact with him, and as we're doing that, we're touching him. And we can be healed in our bodies, if that's the best way for us, always in our spirits and in our minds. We can touch him when we pray to him. And that's what the text is saying. As many as touched him were healed. And that's the end of this event. The text takes over now. And there's an argument with the Pharisees, and we'll be looking at that next time, and so forth. We move into chapter 7. This has been a very powerful chapter, my friends. You see, first he goes off, they follow him, he feeds them. With 5 loaves and 2 fish, he feeds 5,000 people. It's a lot. In fact, there were 12 baskets left over. And as the fathers of the church say, and I already mentioned this, those 12 baskets are still full. They're still full of the teaching of Christ, which the church is dispensing century by century. It's the Eucharist, but it's also the Word. The Word and the Eucharist are our nourishment, and they multiply and multiply at his hands until he comes back himself. And in there, he heals as well. And that's the next incident that we just heard about, where walking on the water, he gets out of the boat, and wherever he goes, they want to be healed. Now, you see, if we could be really, insofar as we're really church, people will come and they'll be healed of their worries, of their fears, and in their bodies. And there are people now being given great gifts of healing, as I'm sure you've heard of. And what does that do? It ratifies the truth of the gospel. If I preach and people are healed, they know that this is really the gospel, and this is really true. So that's the beginning of the bread section.